listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast. We encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast has been Tom Flynn, Emery Morton, Jack Petz. The producer is Sam Bowman. Special thanks to Ray Bodwell and Tony Letigre. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News Director is Charity Marchant, and the Evening Public Affairs Director is Kanan Schlesinger. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncorn.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Positively Revolting looks at the intensified struggles of immigrant communities under the Trump regime. At 9, Veterans Voice Radio welcomes Jonathan W. Hutto, senior Navy veteran and author of Anti-War Soldier. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Radio Zine has an interview with Jenny Monet, independent writer and journalist who was embedded and arrested at Standing Rock. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking donate. Good night, Robert.
Good night, Grace Ann. Good night, Matthew.
Good night.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
This coming Sunday is known as the Day of Remembrance, a day that marks the 75th anniversary of the signing of the Executive Order 9066 by President Roosevelt during World War II. Executive Order 9066 would eventually lead to the mass incarceration of 120,000 Americans of Japanese ancestry, 4,000 of them being from the Portland area. With the recent immigration ban and targeting of Muslim people, many descendants of the Japanese American incarceration camps are speaking out against what they see as a repeat of an all too familiar history. Here to talk with us live is one of the organizers, Jenna Yokoyama, who are descendants of the incarceration camps. They're organizing a gathering for the Japanese American community at the Japanese American Historical Plaza this Sunday for the Day of Remembrance. Welcome to the studio, Jenna.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. First off, for full disclosure, Jenna is a KBOO Newsroom volunteer. If you're a regular listener to the KBOO Evening News, you're probably used to hearing her as our Tuesday evening news producer and anchor.
Yeah, it's so, kind of weird to be sitting on the other side and to be actually be answering questions.
So you're planning a public gathering at called Never Again. Japanese Americans remember this Sunday for the Day of Remembrance. Can you tell us about what the Day of Remembrance is?
So like you were just kind of saying there in the introduction, the Day of Remembrance is a day to mark the anniversary of the signing of this executive order, 9066, that was signed in 1942 by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And this was an executive order that was signed just a couple months after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So, you know, there was this time where people were really afraid that the Japanese government, you know, was going to be declaring war on the United States, and that, I don't know, there was a big fear of enemies, right? And so they signed this executive order, which ultimately what it did was it created what was called a military zone. So most of the West Coast, well, all the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, were part of this military zone. And what the military zone did was it allowed the restriction of civil liberties. So, for example, curfews were set in these zones. You know, right now you can't even imagine the city of Portland putting in a curfew. But they were able to do stuff like this. And eventually, because these military zones, basically, when you have these military zones, it says, well, all our normal laws don't really apply now because now we're in this, like, emergency state. And so from that, that's how they were able to create these incarceration camps, and as well as tell people to leave because, you know, it was for public safety. So eventually you had 120,000 Japanese Americans be put into 10 different internment camps. There was actually two additional ones in Hawaii as well. And so they were all forcibly removed from their homes as a result from this initial signing of Executive Order 9066. And so on Sunday, that's what we're doing. We're going to be remembering the signing of this and all the kind of consequences that came as a result of that executive order. And then as well as trying to remember what environment we were living in at that time here in the United States that would allow such a signing to happen.
And how many of these communities were able to bounce back after they were able to go back to their homes and everything?
Well, but the really sad part is that a lot of these people, you know, were not allowed to return to their homes. They never came back, which is part of why we're kind of having like this gathering, because it's Japanese Americans. Well, we'll talk a little bit about Portland, first of all. Portland's a perfect example of a place that had once had a thriving Japanese American community. Downtown, you know, we have the area that we call Old Chinatown. Now, well, before that was Old Chinatown, that was actually known as Nihonmachi, which was known as Japantown. But because of this signing of this executive order, you know, the Japanese Americans were seen as possibly being spies and aliens. So they were, quote unquote, evacuated, which was forcibly removed from their homes. They had to sell their businesses. They had to sell their farms and whatever. So you actually just had people who were selling off their businesses at like penny on the dollar, that sort of thing. And you ended up having other people who were, you know, not being incarcerated, buying up these businesses. And the Chinese community ended up being the community that ended up taking over Japantown. And so a lot of people here in Portland know Chinatown as Old Chinatown / Nihonmachi. And so Japanese Americans still refer to that area often as Nihonmachi. And so to describe also why this didn't happen was after in 1945, the war ended, right? People were let go from the camps. They were given $25 to go anywhere they wanted. And they said, hey, you can go anywhere in the United States because $25 is going to get you so far. But you can't go back to the military zone, the military exclusion zone, because the zone still existed, because there was still a fear. And so nobody was allowed to return. And so a lot of people ended up going to the Midwest, or they ended up going over to the East Coast, where it was legal for them to leave. So cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle used to have centers for the Japanese community, and they never quite rebuilt. It's like if you look at San Francisco, their Japantown used to be huge. It went for many, many, many blocks, and now it's just kind of a couple blocks with a couple stores that have remained. And so, you know, you can see remnants, but there was definitely a kind of a scattering of the Japanese American community right after the war that never reconvened.
Oh, thank you. can we hear a little bit about what's happening during your event?
Okay, so on Sunday during our gathering, we're calling it a gathering, the Never Again Japanese Americans Remember. What we're doing is we are calling out to the Japanese American community that's still here in Portland, and we're asking them to join us at the Japanese American Historical Plaza for, I want to describe it like as a vigil. It's not a protest or a rally or anything like that. This is more about a vigil to reflect upon our shared history. I know a lot of Japanese Americans here aren't necessarily originally from Portland, but it's something that was very much in common for all of us, that our grandparents went to the camps, and our lives today, we still feel the consequences and the echoes of that time. So we're asking Japanese Americans to come out and to stand with us in the square in an act of solidarity. One, to kind of address what's going on right now with bans that we see, you know, the Muslim ban and these executive orders that are being signed. But we're also going to be having Japanese Americans share stories with each other. So like when people first get there, there's going to be kind of a meet and greet for everybody to talk and share stories with one another. And then we're going to have some speakers who are going to share the stories about their family. And then we're just inviting people who are there, if they have something to share, something to say, to come up and reflect upon this day and how it just changed all of our family's lives 75 years ago.
And you covered this a little bit, but you're calling this a gathering for Japanese American community, but your event description says that all are invited. Can you talk a little bit more about this as well?
Yeah. So this is an event that is open to the public, because you know it's in the Japanese American Historical Plaza. We don't have any fences or anything. So we definitely are open to anybody coming. We're not going to restrict anybody from coming. But we are definitely focusing this gathering towards the Japanese American community. All the language that's being used and all kind of the discussions are being very much focused towards people who this is their history. But we also, me and the other organizer, who's my sister, we discuss this a bit about, well, do we have a gathering that's open to the public and what would be the benefit of that? And we decided that, you know, even though we would like to hold vigil for our personal history and our and just, you know, this the kind of loss that the Japanese American community went through, we do see that a lot of people in the Japanese American community right now are really talking about the executive orders and the Muslim bans. And we thought, well, you know, we are a community who has a very kind of unique history and a unique place in our society right now, where we still remember what that was, even though I'm fourth generation out. Like, there was a lot, this is a lot of part of my personal identity. And I see that sharing the story with the general public can help humanize what this is, right? These incarceration camps. And even though it was 75 years ago, you know, in the news just this year, we saw Japanese American internment being used as justification for discriminating against Muslims and as being called a precedent and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of public interest in this topic right now, and especially amongst Japanese Americans, there's interest. So I think there's an interest in sharing with the general public. So we're inviting people who are not Japanese Americans to come into the space to listen. We're not going to allow anyone who's not Japanese American to speak, because we're holding this space specifically for the community. But we definitely don't mind people coming and listening and just taking it as an opportunity to really learn about their own history, too. Because, right, like, this is a Japanese American story. But Executive Order 9066 and the incarceration of Japanese American people is an American story. It's our shared American history, right? I mean, this was our American president that did this, and this was our neighbors who allowed it to happen. And so it's very much something I think that can be reflected on in many, many different angles. And we're hoping that everybody will kind of come to the table wanting to do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm surprised at how much I learned just in the past 10 minutes here. You're a Yonsei, a fourth generation Japanese American. Why do you feel that this is an important issue for other people of your generation to remember Executive Order 9066?
So there's that aspect of, well, trying to have compassion for the people who are going through similar, like, xenophobic policies and stuff, and having to live in that culture of fear where everybody's looking to them to blame, right? For Japanese Americans specifically, something that is such an important thing to understand about our culture is that there was a lot of shame coming out of World War II. People felt really, they wanted to re-show their patriotism and stuff, so they didn't really talk about the camps, and they didn't talk about the negative effects and the traumas and everything that they went through. And so a lot of fourth generation and third generation Japanese Americans and the upcoming, you know, children right now who are the fifth generation don't actually know. Sometimes your grandparents went and you literally don't know what the story was, because it was part of the culture was to just not talk about it. And so, yeah, we're coming together to remember this executive order, but we're also coming together to kind of rebuild the narrative that a lot of us have lost and talk even a little bit about that silence of people who just don't know.
And if your listeners want to find out more, how can they do that?
They can go onto Facebook. That's where we're doing most of our main updating and everything. So go onto Facebook. It's an event. It's called Never Again. That's all one word, Never Again. And then Japanese Americans Remember. We're also, our event is being listed on the website with all the details at neveragainpdx.org. And last thing is, if you have any questions you want to email, go ahead and email to neveragainpdx2017@gmail.com.
Right. Thank you very much. That was Jenna Yokoyama, organizer for the upcoming gathering, Never Again, Japanese Americans Remember, taking place this Sunday, February 19th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Japanese American Historic Plaza, just north of the Burnside Bridge on the waterfront. More information can be found on Facebook at Never Again, Japanese Americans Remember, or the event calendar at www.neveragainpdx.org. Thanks so much, Jenna.
Thank you.
Cebu Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of Cebu in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about Cebu Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice a board meeting in writing, please email monica@cebu.org.
Cebu Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winter Folk 29 on Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland. Winter Folk is an annual folk music concert benefiting Sisters of the Road. This is Winter Folk's 29th year. Performers include Cozy Sheridan, Tom May, Richard Colombo, and Lori Lynn, and more. Again, that's Winter Folk 29, Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at cebu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.